And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer, my microphone's doing that thing, man. See if you can go ahead and clear me up over there on your side. Unplug and do whatever you got to do to fix that thing. I hate it when that happens. We sit here, I mean, I know we're broadcasting, people can hear it fine, but then all of a sudden I can't hear myself still. No, I'm not there. I am still not there. Boom air, boom air, boom air, boom air. I know we're on the air. Now I'm back. Hello. Hi, Boomer. Do what?
I heard you fine.
Don't, you just tried to blame, you just threw me under the bus.
No. I'm just saying I heard it.
All right, as long as the world heard it, I think we're fine.
The world heard it.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call an audible. I feel like I want to call an audible. I'm going to quarterback this thing. I'm at the line right now. I see the defense posturing in a they're going to pull a stunt. I don't like what I see, and I'm going to call an audible. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to switch the order here on the show. I'm going to put Adventures in Woke World next. So this is the time of when I'm resourcing the show, and I find like story after story where it's like, okay, that is just so woke, or that is so ridiculous, or that is so progressive, or that is so snowflake. I got to do a section. I got too many stories like it. Adventures in Woke World. But we do have a sound effect, so hit it.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, Adventures in Woke World. This is, I mean, listen, I got some of these stories in here that are going to make you mad. I got some of these stories in here that are going to make you laugh. I got some of these stories that are going to make you cringe. And some are going to make you do all at the same time. That's what happens when we do Adventures in Woke World. You want to call in? I'll take your calls, your thoughts on these stories, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Or you can hit up the text line and tell me what your thoughts are on some of the... Okay, so here's the first one. Hotair.com. Hotair.com headline. You ready? Denver offers cash and goodies to the homeless, but only if they are women, trans, or non-binary. Oh my gosh. Okay. Whew. Story on hotair.com, headline dated yesterday. Just like virtually every city in the United States, it says Denver, Colorado has seen a significant surge in homelessness over the past couple of years, along with rising crime rates. But rather than seeking to provide more homeless housing or food kitchens or other typical services, the city is preparing to launch a different type of experiment. Pray tell, what do you think they would do? I don't know. How about we just give them money? There you go. That's usually the liberal answer, isn't it? Throw some money at it. They'll be giving homeless people $12,000 in cash with no strings attached. Tax-free, I'm sure. The money would be paid out with an initial cash bonanza of $6,000, meaning if you're one of the homeless people in this pool of people that are approved to receive money, you're going to get $6,000 handed to you, ba-bam. Like that, $6,000, followed by monthly payments for the next 11 months. This limited form of basic guaranteed income, oh boy, there's a liberal favorite. This limited form of a basic guaranteed income is intended to see if the cash payouts will lift them out of destitution. I'm going to go ahead and call this plan a failure before it starts. And the article goes on to say, sounds like a pretty sweet deal, doesn't it? If you're impoverished, you're living on the street, $12,000 go a long way and might at least see you through the cold winter months quickly approaching. But there are several catches. First of all, it's only going to be a limited number of 140 people that will be able to take part in the plan out of an estimated population of homeless in the city of 7,000. But there's another significant hoop to jump through. Nearly all of the recipients will be women or homeless people who identify as being transgender or non-binary. In other words, cisgender males need not apply. I'm going to go ahead and hazard the guess. I'm going to posit the suggestion that you're going to wind up seeing any number of folks who are going to say, hey, today I identify as a woman if I can get in that 140. That's going to happen. What do you think, Boomer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they will.
We're only taking, black females and transgender women.
They're going to be, they're just going to be up there just raising their hands.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, that's exactly right. The guy with the beard is going to go, that's me.
Yep.
Yeah, right here.
That's me, guys.
Yeah. I'll take it. The program will cost around $9 million, seeking to help around 820 people, but the $2 million provided by the city will fund around 140 people. The rest are hoping to pick up through donations. Here's an idea. Give your money in terms of charitable donations to a thing which is sure to find its way into the drug use of the street. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, there's the first one, Adventures in Woke World. All right. How about this one? I got to go down this road here next. The immigration situation is just laughable right now. Not really. Laughable in like a, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that kind of way. But here's the deal. Liberals are finally getting it handed to them. I got to admit, this has been, in fact, I saw that the radio guy, you know, I think he's in New York, Charlemagne the God, who you know, not known for being a conservative, but he said that he thinks that the actions being taken right now by Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis, in his words, are genius. Because what they've done is they put the issue back on the map. Literally, illegal immigration is suddenly all that anybody will talk about. Well, that and the Queen's, you know, funeral in England. But for right now, it looked like popped up on the screen. Bam. The right side screen, Fox News. Border encounters top 2.1 million. It's the highest ever. And they're showing buses being unloaded in New York City. Well, that's funny you should say that, Phil. Yes, it is. Because the next story I have, Adventures in Woke World. New York Post, dated yesterday, Mayor Adams of New York City says migrants could be housed on cruise ships.
Cruise ships?
I kid you not. Cruise ships.
They're going to get some cruise ships for...
I guess.
And where are they going to take them? I mean, they're just going to let them just ride around in the New York Bay?
New York Harbor is going to wind up having... Yeah. No, I think they're going to be at the dock. It's going to be like a giant floating hotel. That's a nice hotel, dude. New York City shelters are so overwhelmed by the migrant crisis that Mayor Eric Adams is considering using cruise ships as temporary housing. Now, keep in mind, this is what they have asked for. They've asked for it by sanctimoniously standing in front of the microphone and going, well, we don't understand the angst of people in Texas who won't do good things, so we are a sanctuary city. We would take anyone that came here. We would, and we would love them, and we would nurture them, and we would give them everything they need.
We'll give them cruise ships.
And so we're going to give them a cruise ship because guess what? Busloads are showing up. And you know, the article, the New York Post is a conservative conservative venue for news, and so they're saying right out that literally that what's happening is overwhelming the New York City's shelter system. The city has had to open 23 emergency shelters, but there's still not enough beds. And while this story was being published, there was another number of 9 buses carrying migrants that were traveling to the city, each one with 40 to 50 more migrants on board. Well, I got news. You asked for it.
You asked for it, and you're only getting a small portion.
I know.
A small portion.
I mean, so what we're looking at here is the hundreds that have shown up in New York City. They have that many an hour in Texas.
Absolutely.
But, oh, man, it's all the rage. And so here you are, Sanctuary City. Now guess what? Now your harbor is going to be docked with cruise ships that are nothing but floating hotel or homeless shelters.
Wow.
For the migrants that you said, please send us. We'll take them. We want to do good things. Okay. How about this one? Next, change of subject, Daily Caller, dated yesterday. Adventures in Woke World. Corporate media outlets portrayed a Virginia policy barring teachers from socially transitioning children without parental permission and requiring sex-segregated restrooms in schools as an attack on transgender rights. It's an attack on transgender rights that you won't let Virginian teachers socially transition the children without their parents' permission. Come on, man. What are you, a junkie? Come on. And Biden up there fighting corn pop again. Republican Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin reversed state policies from 2021 that had allowed students to use restrooms based on their gender identity rather than biological sex. You know what? Let's stop and think about this. You've got maybe one or two in a large high school that want to identify differently at 14 years old and use the guy, use the girl's room. Okay. How about the other, you know, 627 students that don't want someone of the opposite sex coming into their bathroom? Where's their rights? Now, first of all, I don't recall anything in the Bill of Rights saying you have a right to use a different bathroom. So the whole idea of restricting the rights of transgender students, what are we talking about here? Because if you're going to identify different than your biological sex, and there is another bathroom that's neutral in the building, first of all, maybe you have to walk a little further to get to the restroom, but guess what? There you go. It's been provided. But even if not, you have to look at it and go, just stop. The whole world has not come to a stop because of less than 1% of the population identifying different than the way they were born. You know, we got, of course, comments. Trans kids deserve to live, learn, and thrive in an environment free of bullying, intimidation, and fear. That means being addressed as who they are, supported for who they will be. Well, at some point, you have to look at it and go, I'm sorry, but gender dysphoria is not something that we let minors decide. Guess what? You can't decide to drink below a certain age. You can't join the military below a certain age. You can't consensually have sex with an adult below a certain age. You can't get married below a certain age. You can't do a lot of things below a certain age under the law. At what point, though, do we say, hey, 13-year-old who doesn't even understand, you know, which one is the brake pedal, which one's the gas pedal, can you go ahead and decide that you're now a female instead of a male today? And by the way, the teacher, not the parent, is going to be the one who helps you make those decisions. No. How about everybody stop melting down over something that teachers should never have a right to do, nor should they have to spend their time doing, because their role is to teach. Not cloud up their classrooms with social justice. Oh, my gosh. Play me that Adventures of Woke World sound effect again. I just need to hear it.
Adventures in Woke World.
Every day is an adventure in Woke World. Every day. And I got a stack more stuff, and texts are coming in. I probably got to grab a few of them. But Boomer, take us to a break. We'll do that first. And I'll continue this thread because, like I said, in Woke World, every day is an adventure. Make you mad, make you laugh, make you cringe, do all three. Yup. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Hang on. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Getting some funny stuff on the text line.
There's some funny stuff. Well, like, here's this one from Mel from Huntsville. He said, "Do they get a wristband for drinks or all-you-can-eat buffet on the ships?" You know, they have to feed them.
Probably, right? You know what? They probably will. I mean, you don't want them like bringing their friend from down the street onto the cruise ship to eat the buffet that was designed just for the residents of the cruise ship homeless shelter.
Well, what about the Broadway plays on the ships?
You just caught me off guard.
I'm sorry.
I felt my eyelids go up. Like,
you're like, what?
Broadway? Oh,
you know, all those plays and stuff. You think have those going?
Yeah, shuffleboard. I mean, is the pools, giant water slide going to be available? I don't know. Maybe. You know? Why not? The spa. Get a little massage.
Workout center.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Wristbands come in handy, I suppose. That's a great question. Who was that? Who brought that one to us?
That was Mel from Huntsville.
That
was a good question, Mel.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then, where's my mouse here? Jeff from Indiana. What did he come back? He said... Oh, with regards to Woke World, Jeff says, Phil, you're going to have to relabel this segment to be more in line with the truth. Instead of calling it Woke World, you're going to have to call it Adventures in Comatose Land, because most of these people, if they were given an EEG, the doctor would call it and pull the plug.
I'm enjoying this text line.
I know. You want to text in, by the way? 833-68-RIGHT. That's the phone number, 833-687-4448. You can call in or you can text in. You know what, though? I have noticed this, Boomer. Since we opened the text line, I think we get fewer calls.
Uh-oh.
I think people are going, I'll just text it.
No, they should probably still call in.
I like it when they call in.
I do, too. I enjoy talking to them before you talk to them.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I also enjoy them when you talk to them. I didn't mean it in that way. I said, yeah.
So hit me a sound effect.
Okay.
Adventures in Woke World.
All right, we're back. Adventures in Woke World. Here's another one. RedState.com, dated 2 days ago, September 18th. How about this for you? So you've heard that there's been a lot of talk about recruiting in the military is facing shortages, right? And that there's just a smaller pool of available people that qualify to be recruited in the military without waivers. I mean, things like, you know, they're overweight or they're physically unfit or they're not able to pass the test or they've got a criminal background or drug use, whatever. All these things are excluding like something like 73% of the age-appropriate recruiting pool. Great. But here's the thing. The U.S. Air Force is facing another problem. The U.S. Air Force is having a major recruiting issue with regards to aviators. But then on top of that, they're facing another shortage of what we call mid-career aviators. So a lot of them are in, but yet they're still 1,650 pilots short between the active and reserve component pilots needed for the Air Force. That was in 2021. The shortfall expected to get worse. The airline industries, by the way, are short people too, so they're offering big opportunities for folks to get out of the military and come fly for the airlines. And so people who are thinking about it, especially those mid-career aviators, I mean, you go fly a KC-135 for a few years, or a C-5 or something like that, sure, you can fly a 747, why not? But here's the thing. You've got a situation where the Air Force, though, has decided that it actually has too many. And, Boomer, I tell you what, we're up against the break, man. Tell both my callers that they want to hold on to the break. I can get them right after the break, all right? Because I can tell you the music's going to play in like 1 minute. But, yeah, the Air Force is saying they're not setting quotas based on race and gender, but they are accelerating their plans to increase diversity, equity, diversity, inclusion in the hiring. They announced that they believe they have basically too many white pilots, white male pilots. So it says the U.S. Air Force has responded to the challenge by eliminating prior flight training as a plus on pilot selections. They also found that such training favored applicants who could afford private flight lessons. It also announced it tends to reduce the number of white officers from 80% to 67.5%. It's not like they hired white officers. They just wound up with that many white officers. So they're going to intentionally reduce the amount. And then it says in this article I'm looking at from Red State. No, yep, Red State. Compounding the outright racism and bigotry involved in these goals, you also have, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion officers in the DOD who are tweeting out racist issues. So here's the deal, it says. It says, suppose you are a mid-career officer and you're pondering your professional future. On one hand, you're looking at a higher salary and a more stable domestic environment for your family in a commercial airline. Hey. But on the other hand, you've also got the fact that your current employer, the military, is sending clear signals that your contribution and your presence is not valued and is detrimental. And they have a blatant racist helping them oversee the policies. And so what do you do? Would you hang around and wait for the axe to fall, or do you leave? And the guy ends up by saying, I know what I'd do. U.S. Air Force announcing that it believes it has a massive shortage of pilots, but too many of what they got's white. So they're going to go ahead and reduce that number. You know, that's good. Why don't we just put that on a recruiting poster? God almighty, this is ridiculous. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. The music's playing. We're heading to hour number three. I'll keep it up. Adventures in Woke World. Be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio for hour number three. Local, state, national, man, we cover down on all the issues, and we are solid conservative and just plain right. I'm about to jump on the phones, but I got to tell you, we got some hilarious texts that came in, like Leanne from Huntsville with regard to the cruise ships again. That apparently got some notice. She goes, how about the excursions?
That is great.
And I'm thinking snorkeling in the Hudson River. That'll be great. That'll be awesome.
Oh, man. That's
day right. Outings to the Bowery. It'll be wonderful. And then JT from Lacey Springs texted in. He goes, yeah, those cruise ship muster drills with 1,000 migrants speaking 20 different languages plus the dozens of dialects is going to be quite a task. I'm saying, JT.
Yes.
That's all right. Listen, I had some folks that hung on during the break, and I really appreciate that. So let me just honor their time and jump over there. Line one, Scott from Huntsville. Hey, Scott, Phil Williams, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you. I want to preface this question by I don't support the teaching of what I call woke-alytics in school. I'm a reading, writing, arithmetic person.
Right.
But I want to ask you this question, and I want you to take off your Right Side ruffian hat for a minute and put on your lawyer hat.
All right.
You made a statement. You said they don't, I'm going to paraphrase, they don't have the right to choose what they want to be that day, you know, basically making a bathroom for those people. What about the other 620 something? And basically it sounded like they didn't have any rights in your opinion. And I'm sure that's not what you meant to say.
No.
So what I want to ask is if they don't have the right to pick and choose what they want to do on a particular day, does that infringe upon their right to pursuit of life, liberty, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
No. And so, okay, let me do that. And by the way, I can be a Right Side ruffian and wear my lawyer hat all at one time. But the reality is the enumerated rights that each person has in this country are inalienable. They are theirs. Just to name a few, I mean, the right to due process, the freedom of speech, the right to worship as you see fit, the right to assemble, all these things. Uh-huh. Those are there, and they certainly do have each of those. The thing that gets me, though, most often is that when especially liberals sort of get ahead of themselves and they talk about an issue, they talk about it being a right. Well, that's a legal term, and being a right is different than having a preference. You could say, okay, I have a preference and I choose my preference today to do this, or I want to have a bathroom identity that I can, you know, I can use the other biological bathroom. It doesn't mean that's your right under the law. It means that is your preference of your reality. And there's a vast difference, legally speaking, in that regard. But no, they certainly have all the usual rights that that any other citizen would have. Absolutely.
Okay, but do they have the right to make that preference?
That preference of the bathroom, you saying?
Yes. Do they have the right to make any preference? You know, if the preference of, hey, I want to be a girl today, I want to be a boy tomorrow, I want to be I don't want to be either one, you know, the next day. Do they have the right to make that preference, that choice, and change it?
I would suggest that, yes, they do. However, you also have to take into other accounts of the law, because what we're dealing with here is minors. All right, we're talking about people in Alabama, the age of majority is 19. So under the age of 19, can you be influenced by someone other than your parent or legal guardian to make a life-altering decision? And the answer should be no to that. And almost everything that we do in the law, we have a no to that issue.
Right, and they haven't set that preference of precedent, and they need to set it because everything that they've set a preference for age requirements, they've made it a law. So they need to do that. And I'll finish up just by saying an Abraham Lincoln quote. He asked an audience, how many legs does a dog have? And they said four. And he said, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail? And some said five. He said, no, it's still four. Just because you call a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg.
Nice enough, Scott. Appreciate you. Got to jump to another call, man. That was a great call. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Thanks for holding on, too. Let me jump over. Charles has been holding for a while, so I appreciate that. Line two, Charles from Morgan County. Charles, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Phil. Really been enjoying the show. And I wish I could have kind of answered this. You're an attorney also, but Matt Clark, I think, would have probably liked where I'm coming from with this.
All right.
On the immigration, I am thinking that an undue burden is being placed on the citizens of the border states because of the lack of doing anything about illegal immigration, and that it violates the Privileges and Immunities Clause of the U.S. Constitution. What do you think of that?
No, I think you're on the right track. You certainly are, It's one of those things where you look at it and you recognize a great disparity in the law. Now, some will say, well, they chose to be geographically located. You can't help the fact that Mexico is not next to New York. But nonetheless, the shipping of migrants to places that said, y'all come, shouldn't cause the outcry that we're seeing, because it's just basically saying what's good for Texas should also be good for New York. So yes, I do agree. You're correct. I also think that what we're seeing is a direct and intentional intent of the federal government right now to allow Texas and Arizona and California to receive these undue burdens. It's almost being inflicted upon them, if you will. It's not like it just naturally occurred. It's being inflicted upon them by actions or omissions of the federal government.
Right, and it looks to me, I mean, I don't know, you tell me, but is there a potential way for a suit to go through the system to the Supreme Court dealing with the privileges and immunities, mainly the immunities there, being violated? Is that something that's possible?
Well, anything's possible. I can't say that it would make it all the way to the Supreme Court. I mean, you have to have two things. Obviously, you have to have a viable cause of action, and you have to have damages. And I think they could claim those. But then you're also going to have the substantive immunity of the U.S. government to make policy decisions. And so that's going to wind up playing in. The reality is this: common sense has to dictate something. And we can talk the law. I say we, like in general, I'm talking about like in the national spectrum here. We can talk the law all day long. But the truth is, policy is also built on common sense. And there ain't no common sense in what's happening right now. It's a complete inequity. And so I think they have to deal with it. Legally speaking, I think you're right. I think they would have standing to move forward. Whether it get all the way to SCOTUS, I don't know.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call and appreciate the work that you do on the radio.
Hey, thanks, Charles. Appreciate you. Thanks for being in the audience. Those are good calls, man. Golly bum. What an amazing audience. You know what? I mean, we got text messages that crack me up because we got the wittiest people out there in our audience. We got calls that challenge me to have to stop and go, okay, what did I learn in law school? You know, and I have to really think through it and then make that fit into the spectrum of the news that we're dealing with. Man, this audience is amazing. I mean, I guarantee you 2/3 of our audience could host this show. You know what?
They're all incredible. Yeah, their viewpoints and what they have to say is...
I'm not coming in tomorrow. I'm letting the audience host the show.
What?
Boomer, just run the board for whoever feels like calling in.
All right, I guess I'll just... Whoever sits,
they'll,
I'm just going to...
They'll do
go.
It. They'll do a good job, too.
Yeah, they will.
What did... Oh, Brian from Huntsville just texted about the cruise ship thing. He says, do they get shore leave? Well, we're not conscripting them into the Navy, Brian, but, you know, I guess they get a pass to go ashore. I don't know.
I mean, do they have to show identity to get on and off the ship?
I would think that would that probably be a mandate there. Yeah, that would. I mean, I can't imagine them doing otherwise. It's like having a key to your room to any place. You gotta have a right to be there. Wow. Okay. All right, folks. Listen. What did we? Oh yeah. Okay. Back on the pilots thing, the U.S. Air Force thing. Danny from Decatur texted in. He says, you're commenting on the U.S. Air Force pilot shortage. I would think a priority would be to get pilots. Political correctness should be secondary. They're having a problem with enlistment. They need mechanics also to help the aircraft stay airworthy. Yes, indeed. You are correct, sir. Danny, you're spot on, brother. That's exactly why it's woke world when you look at this stuff. All right, what else I got? I got a stack of stuff. Oh, and Paul just said, by the way, it's hump day tomorrow. Yes, it is, Paul. And you are correct. Hey, listen, next story I've got. Which one do I want? I'm thumbing through my stack of stuff. Which one is good? Well, how about this one? The Daily Caller. Daily Caller. Dated September 19th. That would be yesterday. Boston Elementary School encourages race-based clubs in the name of social justice. Come on, people. I mean, you cannot. I did a whole section on this the other day. You can't cure racism with racism. You don't look at people and go, listen, you need to stop being ugly. We don't support racism here. So all you blacks go have your club, and all you whites go have your club, and all you Asians go have your club, and all you Latinxes go have your club. That doesn't work. You can't divide people up and claim that you cured racism. I mean, if you're going to have a homogenous society, you've got to encourage people to be together, not to be apart. Why doesn't that make sense to liberals? They constantly want to label people, divide people, and then allow them back together once in a while with their liberal intersectionalities. You know, that whole thing about, well, I'm going to divide you into black females. Oh, you're black and you're female. That's an intersectionality because two of our suppressed groups are black and female. You're black and you're female and you're gay. You have three intersectionalities now. Three of our subgroups have now come together in you. Oh, you're black and you're gay and you're transgender. Oh, now you're in four of our intersectionalities. I mean, it gets ridiculous. How about this? Encourage the absence of racism by encouraging people to be together, not separating them into component parts. I got a caller on the line. Boomer, I tell you what, man, I am up against a hard break. So why don't you tell Adam if he will hold on. I'll catch you right after the break, but I got to do it because that's the time we're on. Folks, we're taking a break. This segment continues on. I got a few more. We'll take a call when I get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking down south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. And solid conservative and, as always, just plain right. Still having some great texts coming in. Appreciate that very much. Leanne from Huntsville, we're cracking up right now. I said, how about going snorkeling in the Hudson River? And she said, yeah, going fishing. And we had a caller call in. It was off topic, but that was kind of cool, though. I mean, you know, Allie from Athens calls in quite often, and Adam from Decatur just wanted to thank us for making sure people knew her story because he knows her personally and thinks the world of her, apparently. So, Adam, appreciate that very much. Thanks for the input. I gotta tell you, as I get close to the end of this segment, these woke whirlwinds always strike a nerve, and I knew it would. But some of these, I mean, like I'm looking at some right now. Here's one. I tell you what, let me take these in order. Let me do this one first. So this one came off a website called Based Politics. Based Politics, dated yesterday. Biden admits the pandemic is over but won't give up his emergency powers. Okay. Yes, it's a woke world segment. Bear with me. Here's the thing. For liberals, it does not matter. The rules do not apply. If you're going to live in woke world and say the pandemic is over, guess what you get to do? You still get to have sweeping expanded powers and unilaterally spend billions more on welfare all the way through October 13th. Why? Because it's woke world and that's how we work in woke world. Yeah, so literally on July 15th, the White House renewed the official public health emergency declaration, literally giving the government these expanded sweeping powers I was just mentioning to spend billions more on welfare. And Biden is planning to extend that declaration again through the midterms. Why? Because if you give folks stuff, you buy their votes. That's what they think. It's always about throwing the money at them. And yet, this should be unjustifiable because he just admitted the pandemic is over. Like, it's done. But yet we still got to spend billions on people that are being impacted. Well, so when you hear that kind of thing, you think, okay, could somebody please just apply some common sense? I mean, for God's sake. How about this one? In the same vein, postmillennial, dated yesterday. Postmillennial, exclusive. Jails refuse to take in felons due to staffing shortages in Washington State. It's more than that, though, when you read the article. Wanted felons are being refused by jails in Pierce County, Washington, due to a shortage of correction staff. However, Sergeant Darren Moss, Jr., the public information officer for Pierce County, told the Postmillennial, well, we have strict booking regulations in place due to staffing shortages, and COVID outbreaks have required us to shut down individual units. COVID outbreaks are causing the jail to be shut down so they won't take in the felons who have been arrested. So what do they do with them? They put them back out on the street because it's woke world. You know, in that same vein, and here's one of those that just makes you mad. You just look at it and go, all right, you know what? Come on, woke world. And this is making the rounds. I saw this the other day. I tweeted it out on my own Twitter feed, I believe. And I just saw it. It literally just came up on the screen, on the right side screen in the right side studio, which would be Fox News. Story off the Postmillennial. Did you see this? Did you see, Boomer, did you see the videos of the guy with the axe in the McDonald's?
Oh, yes, he was going at some of those trash cans, and I mean, that was scary.
He was doing more than that. He was going after people.
Yeah.
But he apparently got dissed by some female, and so what did he do? He started getting in her face and yelling, making a scene. So three guys stepped in, you know, and pretty much hammered him. And it was kind of weird. He stood there and just took the blows to his face. And then he reached in his pack, calmly pulled out an axe, and started going after everything.
Wow.
And the guy's out on bail the same afternoon. I mean, I watched the video. Man. He menaced about a half dozen people, threatened them, tore the place up, shattering windows, breaking tables, you know, turning over chairs, knocking people down, slapping them in the face, swinging the axe around. And because New York City is in woke world, they've got a prosecution there and state laws that allow for no bail. And he literally is out on the street just hours later.
Just walks out.
Just walked out the door.
Wow.
Oh. All right. Hey, folks, listen, before I go to the break, I got to tell you, you have probably gained quick by listening to the show that I am huge on veterans issues, being a veteran myself. All right. I know those of you who regularly listen to the show, you've heard me talk about the water contamination issues at Camp Lejeune Marine Base. And I got to tell you, I have friends that run a law firm that I've interacted with quite a bit. We've worked cases before. We've worked issues before. Riley and Jackson is the name of the firm. Riley and Jackson is based out of Birmingham, but they work all over the place. They have five lawyers working on these Camp Lejeune water contamination cases. So I called them and I said, what's the deal? Well, they laid it out for me. There's like 19 different illnesses that are literally attributed to the contaminations in Camp Lejeune. If you were there from 1953 to 1987, yeah, you may qualify for a claim. All you got to do is call them, Riley and Jackson. Free call. They'll tell you about it. 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. No charge for the call. If you were at Camp Lejeune for any reason, you may have a claim. And no representation made. The quality of legal service we perform is greater than the quality of legal service performed by other lawyers. How about that? Go to a break. We'll be right back.